Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
All right, time to welcome Ro Edge, Save Women's Sport Australasia, back onto RCR. I think she's been across the Tasman. Have you, Ro? Welcome back.
Surely have enjoyed a lovely holiday in the sun, but back to cold New Zealand now.
Oh, how are they feeling over there?
Yeah, they seem to be a lot more positive over there. You know, that I think their economy is just going a bit better than ours. They make use of their natural resources, unlike us. So,
it's
along quite nicely.
What about the Olympics? Is a big deal over there? They've had quite a medal haul, especially in the swimming, not the breakdancing.
I don't know. I was too busy focused on our medal haul. I didn't watch any Australian TV. I got a special Stan Sports subscription so we could watch all the New Zealand Olympians over there, and it was amazing.
Did you see the Australian breakdancing?
Oh, my God. I didn't watch it, but I've seen the replays. Isn't that just so embarrassing? But I think what's worse is that it was allowed. You know, this lady basically started up the Breakdancing Association and then nominated herself.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, and the Australian Olympic Committee obviously had no checks or balances. It's just, yeah.
Apparently she has a PhD in it.
In breakdancing, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. You could get a PhD in these days, isn't it?
I could have one, I think.
I think any of us could probably.
I could get one and sitting around every morning doing a radio show, PhD in that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think it'll ever become an Olympic sport, though. We are here to talk about the Olympics, gender ideology, bureaucratic decisions that are putting women's safety beneath, there's that word, beneath inclusion. What are your takeaways then, considering what I've just read out, following the Olympics?
Oh, look, hopefully these Olympics will be a catalyst for change, right? The last Olympics, we had Laurel Hubbard there, and people got quite triggered by that, but nothing really happened. In fact, the Olympics loosened their rules after that and allowed pretty much self-ID, where they'd changed the rules before, I think in 2017, to allow just testosterone reduction, which is how Hubbard got in. But this Olympics, the sports that the IOC controlled were self-ID only. And unbelievably, we saw that in boxing, the most contact sport there was at the Olympics. And so, yeah, there was two male, well, what we perceived to be males in female Olympic boxing. And they could have stopped the entire contention around them if they simply made the test results that got them banned from the Women's World Boxing Champs in 2023 public. But they didn't. So the International Boxing Association, they disqualified a Taiwanese and an Algerian boxer last year because they failed two hormone tests over 2 years. We presume those hormone tests were like DNA tests, so they picked up whether they were XX or XY athletes, and that they were disqualified because they showed as being XY, so male chromosomes. Yeah, but both had the ability to appeal that as well, which was really interesting. I think the Algerian started launching an appeal to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, which is what Caster Semenya did, and then withdrew it. The Taiwanese boxer didn't even bother appealing. So both of them could have appealed, didn't, and the International Boxing Association would have covered those costs had they done that as well.
What's this DSD thing?
So DSD means differences in sex development. So these two boxers very likely had a condition. It's called 5-ARD, which leads to males being born with undescended testes and female-looking genitals. So they basically get miscategorized as females at birth. But when they start going through male puberty, it becomes very clear that they are male.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's really challenging, right? It's I'm sure it must be devastating for them. Like, you know, you're brought up as a girl, you think you're a girl, and then to discover that you're not would be really, really hard. And I do have a lot of sympathy for them in that regard.
Yeah.
But where I lose my sympathy is once they know that they're males and they have an unfair advantage and they still keep competing, especially when it's in a sport that they know they'll put the females that they're boxing at risk. Like a male punching power is over 162% stronger than a female's.
162, gee.
Yeah, the force behind the punch. So, you know, the other thing is you can't blame the Algerian and Taiwanese boxing associations either for wanting to make use of these males with their great performance advantage because they want to win gold, right?
I don't know about that. That's so cynical.
Well, it is. Like the Nigerian trainer apparently spilled the beans in this interview he did in a French magazine, saying that Khalif had failed biological tests and that he was devastated to find out he wasn't a girl. And he basically said, I'll just see if I can find a quote. As for their stance, he said they are 50,000 leagues away from these biological tests and are simply happy to have a good boxer. He also said that following Khalif's disqualification, he contacted a renowned endocrinologist, if I got that right, who examined Khalif and confirmed abnormal chromosomes being XY instead of XX and high testosterone levels. So they knew, right? But what the problem is that the IOC, so the, where this whole problem started is like, you know, how did they get, you know, world boxing, or most boxing associations protect the female category. So the Algerians and the Taiwanese wanted to win a gold, can understand that. But why didn't the IOC stop them? Why didn't boxing stop them? So the International Boxing Association tried, but the IBA fell out with the IOC. Hopefully everyone knows what these acronyms are.
Yeah, I think we do. Yep.
Yeah. Because apparently the IOC accused them of corruption and management issues. So they took over managing boxing for the Olympics. And the IOC, the only criteria was if your passport said you were a woman, you were a woman.
It's so loose. This is what gets me all the time. It's so veneer thin, the credibility of this.
Oh, it is. And the credibility of the Olympics and the IOC and of Thomas Bach, the president, has just been demolished, I think, because he was sitting there trying to defend that these two males were females using their passports as the basis for doing that, which is just so utterly ridiculous. The IBA had also made the IOC well aware long before the Olympics that these guys had failed tests. So there was no excuse. They knew they were male and they allowed it to happen. And I think that's the hardest thing to deal with is like, they knew that they were sanctioning male violence on the world stage, males against female violence on the world stage. They knew that these guys had an advantage and they still allowed it to happen. It just, like, honestly, it beggars belief, Paul.
I still don't get why they let it happen, unless you've got something going on upstairs, you know.
Yeah, so the Olympics is really interesting, right? They've been dismantling sex since the late 90s. So they started by stopping the sex testing because they basically said it was too invasive. A sex screen is a simple cheek swab, right? It's not invasive at all. It's a simple cheek swab and it determines whether you have XY and X or XX chromosomes, and you can get the results in minutes. I think it was 87% of the female athletes at the time wanted the IOC to continue, but they decided, no, it was too invasive, so they stopped it. Soon after, they allowed, I think it was in 2003, they allowed males who had sex change operations to participate in female category at the Olympics. And then they loosened it further, I think 2017, with the testosterone, and then in 2020 with the self-ID and let the sports determine.
And the passport.
And so they've been on an agenda from the beginning to dismantle sex. They have no care for the female category at all. And, you know, there's evidence of this back in the 70s and 80s when you had all the East German doping scandal. And for 20
years,
females were raising concerns and the IOC did nothing. They do not care about female sport and they go on about gender equity at the games now. It's just a joke, really.
Why don't they care about sport? I know these are like really dumb questions, but I just don't relate to it.
It all comes back to money though, doesn't it? Who's funding them? You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, who knows? But that's the only thing that you can put it back to. I can't understand it.
Yeah, but when you're prepared, Ro, to let real women be injured as a result.
Well, they're just misogynistic morons, really, aren't they? I can't put it any nicer, I'm afraid.
Even the women involved.
Oh, women who support this honestly do my head in. I don't know why they do. I can only assume that they just want to please men.
Well, I don't know if that's a way to please men, being a man talking here. That doesn't please me, I can tell you. In fact, it makes me doubt some women, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Olympics really is just a sort of a kind of vehicle to promote this to a global audience. It seems because it's so in your face. This is the thing.
Yeah, it is. Although I'm hoping because of this, we're going to get change. I'm just glad that a female athlete wasn't severely injured or killed before this had to happen. But Thomas Bach, who's the president of the IOC, has announced he is stepping down next year, and Lord Seb Coe has put his hand up for selection, and he made the statement that he wants to preserve the female category. So there is hope.
Do we know of any females participating in the male categories? Yeah, I knew
Of
that would be
course
a
not.
stupid question.
There's a performance disadvantage. There's definitely no performance advantage, but there were other males competing in the female category at the Olympics. We know of at least two males in the Zambian female football team. One of them is actually that they're DSD athletes as well. One of them is actually the highest paid female soccer player in the US, professional soccer player.
I wonder
So,
why. I wonder why.
yeah, but again, yeah. But this one didn't get much traction because I think boxing took the limelight, and soccer isn't such a contact sport. But yeah, there was at least those other two. This is the same DSD that I don't know if you remember back in the Rio de Janeiro Olympics, there were three DSD athletes on the
I
female
do.
podium for the 800 meters. They were all males. So it's been going on for years, and a simple sex test, which is a cheek swab, really cheap, really quick to do, would sort the issue.
So not invasive at all.
No, not invasive at all. So that's something that, Save Women's Sport and the International Consortium on Female Sport that I'm part of, that's what we're calling for.
What's this 50-year-old male participating in the female category in the Paralympics? I think you've had a bit to say about that.
Valentina Petrello. Yep, he is competing in the women's T12 classification, which is for athletes with visual impairments. He currently holds eight women's running championship titles, despite failing to earn even one as a male. Shock horror, eh, Paul? He changed his name, taking estrogen just in 2019, and then the following year he began competing, and he's since broken loads of Italian women's records, not for the visually impaired either. Yeah, there's this. He did this interview and on the BBC in 21, and I have to tell you what he said because just does your head in. He said, until 4 years ago, if you talked to Fabrizio, which was what his name was before,
Great name.
he would have given you the idea he was sexist. He was a tough guy who spoke dismissively of women, and then be a woman in his private space. So he's autogynephile who is getting a kick off thrashing women in running races, thrashing visually impaired women now in running races.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. And so he's 50. Most of the females that he'll be running against will be in their early 20s. So he's another Laurel Hubbard, another aged out, mediocre male
Aged out.
getting his claim to fame in the female category. But what's really interesting is World Athletics doesn't allow this to happen, but the Paralympics in athletics comes under the IOC. And so they use the IOC's guidelines. So, yeah, it's amazing.
It's even more unfair in a way because of the impairments that people already have before they even get there.
Yeah, it is. It's just the whole thing's nuts. But, we need these ridiculous things to happen to affect change now. And so hopefully we do. Like, we've just got to keep working at it.
Okay, where are we at in that, do you think? Because a lot more people are talking about this now, I've got to say.
They are. Well, I need everyone to email Chris Bishop and stop his watching brief approach to stopping Sport New Zealand from withdrawing those guidelines and protecting female sport, because he's not taking any action. And unless he hears from enough people and feels the pressure, it's not going to happen. We've got a meeting with him next month. We're just trying to work out our strategy of how we try to get some change with him then. But yeah, it's frustrating, actually. It's frustratingly slow, but it's like I've been at this for 5 years now, Paul. You think something so blatantly bloody obvious should be sorted really quickly, but
Why would he be holding out, do you think? Because there's nothing to lose politically, I perceive.
I think he's a very busy MP and he just doesn't want to deal with it because he sees it as contentious and it'll give him bad headlines.
Actually, it'll, well, in the mainstream media, maybe, but no one believes any crap they write anymore anyway. That's the other thing that's changed.
No, exactly. Yeah, and especially after listening to all the New Zealand's mainstream media on the whole boxing thing. Now, they were just making excuses and court. And basically, anyone that was opposed to these males beating up females in the boxing ring was a right-wing, conservative, bigot, whatever. Like, the name-calling is just ridiculous now, isn't it?
I think this is part of trying to divide people, ultimately.
Yep. And we've not got to let it do that. We've got to make sure that we stick together. And most people know, like we know from our own polling across the political divide, by far the majority of people know this is wrong.
Do you see any, because next Olympics is Los Angeles, right? And that's a woke place.
Oh my God, wokest of all. But I do believe that we will see even more sports tightening up their eligibility criteria following this Olympics. And at the end of the day, it's the international sports federations that will hopefully take control of who is able to compete there. I know in with the International Boxing Association, so they've fallen out with the IOC, but a World Boxing Association, which the president of New Zealand Boxing is part of, they've set up and they're going to try to have control over boxing over the next Olympics, so we won't hopefully see this happening again.
Oh, so they're reliable, are they, in this matter?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I don't have the baggage that the International Boxing Association has, but, you know, there's all these accusations of Russian interference and
Russian interference.
Money. Like, we've heard this crap so often, haven't we?
They're responsible for everything in the world, it seems.
Yeah, amazing the influence they have, isn't it?
Yeah, they must be doing something right if they can have that much influence in things.
Yeah.
So when is that meeting you're having with Chris Bishop? I'd be really interested to hear how that goes.
It's in mid-September.
And what will that involve? A sit-down or on Zoom, something like that?
No, I'm going down to Wellington, and Candice Riley, who's my co-spokeswoman's, joining me, and we're trying to find a male athlete who will join us as well, because unfortunately, men get listened to, women don't. So we feel like we need to take a male along to make an impression and make him listen. That's sad to admit, but that is the reality of the situation.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I thought we were redundant.
Not at all. You're definitely not redundant.
Well, we'll get back to you, Rob, and find out how that went.
Yeah, no, that would be great, Paul.
Anything more to say about what you've seen at the Olympics or anything to come out of it, or particularly bugging you specifically?
Look, I just want to say one thing. You know, there's so much talk about inclusion, and this was what, you know, the IOC were pushing and what our New Zealand media have been pushing. Women's sport only works for inclusion and for fairness and for safety when it excludes male advantage. It's not rocket science, right? You include men, you exclude women.
And why would any woman go into a team, particularly in a team that men would want to go into? What's the point?
Yeah. We just need to get it sorted. And we will. I've just got to keep thinking positively. I don't want
How long do you reckon?
To go on for another 5 years. Well, I think in New Zealand, if we can't get this resolved within this government's term, we're screwed, which is why I need everyone to put pressure on Chris Bishop. If he gets away with not resolving this in this term of government, it will not be resolved.
Thanks for coming back on, Ro. Pleased to hear you had a nice break.
Cheers, Paul. Bye.
RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.